regrouping and repairing in Baltimore after the riot Monday. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Baltimore was mostly quiet during the curfew overnight, although police used tear gas and pepper to quickly disperse 200 protesters right as the curfew began. Mayhem Monday night came after the funeral of Freddie Gray, who died of still unexplained injuries while in police custody. The brief confrontation last evening happened near a CVS pharmacy that was looted, then burned the night before. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports now on the regrouping going on in that part of West Baltimore.
When her neighborhood CVS pharmacy was destroyed by looters, Kim Peace was crushed.
And I'm really upset because I had to have medication and I can't even get my medication today because they burned CVS up.
Peace was out sweeping up an alley in West Baltimore with her 7-year-old granddaughter, part of a massive cleanup effort in the city.
I do have asthma real bad. But I'm not going to let the dirt and dust get in my way of trying to keep the community clean.
She says she and her neighbors rely on that store for food, milk, and diapers. And it wasn't just large chain stores that were damaged. Nearby, Sharonda Palmer was still in shock after the beauty parlor she co-owns was ransacked.
We worked hard for this. It's like we didn't get grants for this. This was our hard-earned money.
Palmer has insurance and hopes to reopen by the weekend. But even then, she wonders how soon her customers will feel safe coming back. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
There's word just now that growth in the U.S. economy slowed more abruptly than expected last quarter. Gross domestic product grew by just 0.2%. Compare that to the 2.2% growth the quarter before. Economists are blaming the high dollar, the lousy winter weather, and the labor dispute at West Coast ports that was happening at the time. 35 minutes before the opening bell here, about 36 minutes really, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.4% range. Greece, the country that could tip Europe into financial chaos, is under pressure to come up with new plans today to cut budgets and stimulate growth to help pay the money it owes back to the European Union creditors. Less visible in all this today will be Greece's finance minister, an intense character who tends to annoy other European officials. Here's the BBC business reporter Theo Leggett.
Yanis Varoufakis was one of the highest profile appointments of the new Greek government. He's seen as the rock star finance minister. It was very striking earlier this year when Mr. Varoufakis met with Wolfgang Schäuble, the very grey, traditional, dry German finance minister, when they held talks in Berlin. But it does seem that his style has ruffled a lot of feathers. So in that context, with deadlines coming up, with the stakes getting higher all the time, it's not particularly surprising that he's been demoted. And there is a very important meeting coming up on May the 11th at which the Eurozone finance ministers will again discuss what to do about Greece. And the hope is that there a deal might be done.
Varoufakis will no longer lead EU negotiations. And last night, Mr. Varoufakis got pelted by protesters while out dining with his spouse. His wife shielded him from the glass objects. Varoufakis later talked with the attackers outside the restaurant and said they were only trying to hit him lightly without intending to do harm. A photo spread he did for an upscale French magazine from his upscale apartment has rankled some Greeks, especially on the far left. We've been covering competing proposals to raise the federal minimum wage. The latest version is from Senator Patty Murray of Washington, $12 an hour. On the subject of what we pay people in America is a man with a voice that will be familiar to many. Remember George Zimmer, the CEO and pitchman? He's no longer at his old company, Men's Warehouse, after a power struggle with his board, but he has vivid views on how to treat employees. I spoke with Zimmer from his office in Oakland, California. Mr. Zimmer, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What? American workers at the lower end of the pay scale need to get paid more? I mean, if you talk like that as head of a public company, wouldn't your shareholders get annoyed?
So as a CEO, when I was a CEO, you have to make decisions about compensation, about return to shareholders. And what I'm arguing is that it requires somebody who is balancing all of those interests because they do not always align perfectly.
I could just imagine you riding the subway out there, BART, bumping into maybe a small businessman or a small businesswoman who would say to you, that's fine if you have 1,200, 1,500 retail outlets. a higher minimum wage, but, you know, I got three employees. This is going to kill me. What would you say to them?
Well, the best answer to that, and by the way, a lot of these laws do exempt very small companies, but by having a national minimum wage, everybody is treated in a equal way so that nobody really derives a competitive advantage. So I don't have a problem with lowering slightly corporate profits and making our workforce more able to buy the products we're selling.
Moving on to another area still connected with this notion of management and the responsibilities toward employees. I've always wanted to ask you about this. I remember when you used to run that famous men's clothing company, you didn't make everybody do criminal background checks to hire them. How come?
Criminal background checks and drug testing are really for-profit businesses in and of themselves. So it's often thought of as a moral choice, but it's really somebody's economic choice. But the most important reason is that I've always believed in second chances. So when I had my earlier business career, we did not run background checks as a regular course of business.
George Zimmer, former CEO of Men's Warehouse, thank you very much. Now, rest assured, I did get Mr. Zimmer to say it. You know, it. My strategy was to ask if he might come back on the program someday when he's ready to talk about his next entrepreneurial venture. But to answer in three words or less,
David, I guarantee it.
It's four words, but I'd say he was being a good sport. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.